This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 5:08 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're heading now into today's episode of Popit Popit Parliament, which takes you through highlights from the Dewan Rakyat. So let's get right to it. One of the key updates today is on the ceiling price of face masks. Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Dato' Alexander Nantalingi said that the government will reduce the ceiling price of three-layer face masks from R1.20 to R1 each. The minister also said that the government is prepared to further reduce the price of face masks if necessary.
Kerajaan telah mengambil langkah berjaga-jaga dengan mewajibkan orang ramai untuk memakai pelitup muka pada mula 1 Ogos 2020 di dalam pengangkutan awam dan tempat-tempat tempuan sesak. Jadi susulan arahan tersebut telah berlaku peningkatan permintaan ke atas pelitup muka di pasaran. Saya ingin memaklumkan bahawa buat masa ini bekalan pelitup muka adalah mencukupi dan pengeluaran sedang dipertingkatkan, malahan harga jualan pelitup muka juga yang dijual oleh pengilang juga semakin menurun di bawah harga maksimum yang dikawal oleh kerajaan. Susulan daripada pengembangan tersebut, saya ingin memaklumkan bahawa harga pelitup muka jenis 3 ply ini, 3 lapisan ini akan diturunkan lagi kepada RM1 seunit di peringkat runcit, maknanya 95 sen di peringkat pemborong berdasarkan penilaian berterusan ke atas kedudukan bekalan dan harga pelitup muka oleh kementerian.
So that was Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Dato' Alexander Nantalingi talking about the ceiling price of three-layer face masks being reduced. Moving on, Transport Minister Dato' Sri Dr. Wee Ka Siong was asked about his vision for the future of transportation in the country. So he talked about his hopes to centralise and connect the railway network system and said that the East Coast Rail Link, that's the ECRL, will be playing a key role in this.
Saya berharap semua kerajaan ini termasuk Selangor dan negeri-negeri yang berkaitan, kita sama-sama mencari satu formula. Dan ini adalah satu, kata orang, game changer, ya, untuk penduduk di pantai timur datang ke sini. Bayangkan kalau train kita, kalau kita dengan ECRL, dengan kelajuan lebih daripada 160 km, dia boleh sampai ke Kuala Lumpur dalam tempoh berapa jam? 4 jam, 5 jam. Dan ini akan selesaikan masalah kita. Kalau sekarang kita kena sampai ke Gemas, Gemas naik ETS 2 jam setengah sampai Kuala Lumpur, itu sudah lambat. Tapi sebab itulah kita kena buka koridor ekonomi untuk pantai timur dengan menghubungkan untuk tren penumpang dan kargo pergi ke sana. Dan sebab itulah kita memikirkan soal negeri Pahang, Terengganu dan Kelantan. Dan ini jaminan kerajaan, kita akan teruskan secara bermusyawarah dengan semua negeri. Yang Mohd kata tadi, betul? Apa impian saya? Ya, kita nak melengkapkan sistem jaringan kereta api. Dan bukan setakat itu. Sebab tu saya kata ECR connection dia mesti tak boleh buat secara silo. Dia kena dihubungkan kepada sistem pengangkutan awam yang ada. Dan begitu juga KTMB. Kalau kita nak sambung, mesti ada tempatnya. Di mana? Kalau di Mentakap. Mentakap akan jadi satu stesen di mana kalau ECRL dengan KTMB dia akan bertembung. Dan di situlah orang nak tukar ke ECRL ke mana, tidak menjadi masalah. Dan saling hubungan itu sangat penting bagi kita untuk menjamin pantai timur ini dipelihara.
The minister also said that the Gemas Tumpat rail line, which was disrupted in 2014 due to flash floods, is expected to be completed by mid-2021.
Keseluruhan kerja membaik pulih, infrastruktur landasan di sektor pantai timur ini jangka akan siap pada pertengahan tahun 2021. Maklumat mengenai projek membaik pulih infrastruktur landasan bagi sektor Gemas ke Tumpat adalah seperti berikut. Pertama, pemulihan landasan dari Gemas hingga Mentakap oleh Syarikat Khidmat Asia Sdn Bhd dengan kos RM216.9 juta. Kemajuan projek sehingga Julai 2020 adalah 86.44%. Dan kedua, pemulihan landasan daripada Mentakap hingga Guam Musang oleh Syarikat Fajar Baru Builder Sdn Bhd dengan kos RM259.7 juta. Kemajuan projek sehingga Julai 2020 adalah 97.08%. Dan ketiga, pemulihan landasan dari Guam Musang hingga Tumpat oleh Syarikat Embraer Sdn Bhd dengan kos RM301.4 juta. Kemajuan projek sehingga Julai 2020 adalah 75%.
That was the Transport Minister, Dato' Sri Dr. Wee Ka Siong. Another question asked today came from Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato, and it was on the number of children currently held in immigration detention centres. So Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, Dato' Sri Ismail Mohamed Said, told the Dewan Rakyat that 588 children under the age of 18 have been recorded in these detention centres, and he also said that they are working with the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development to provide alternative accommodation for these children.
Sebagai perbandingan, Jabatan Imigrasi Malaysia pada 7 Julai 2020 merekodkan 588 orang tahanan kanak-kanak berusia di bawah 18 tahun yang ditempatkan di 14 buah depo tahanan imigrasi di seluruh negara. Pecahan kewarganegaraan tahanan kanak-kanak tersebut adalah seperti berikut. Bangladesh 4 orang, Kamboja 26 orang, China 25 orang, Indonesia 163 orang, Myanmar 323, Nigeria 1 orang, Filipina 44, Sri Lanka 2, dan yang tidak dapat ditentukan kewarganegaraan ada 3, Thailand 9, Vietnam 8, dan jumlah keseluruhannya adalah 588. Tuan Yang Dipertua, untuk makluman, ahli yang berhormat, Batukawan, Kementerian Dalam Negeri juga sedang meneliti kaedah alternatif bagi memastikan kesejahteraan tahanan kanak-kanak di depo tahanan imigresen. Bagi merealisasikan hasrat ini, Kementerian Dalam Negeri bersama-sama dengan Kementerian Pembangunan Wanita, Keluarga dan Masyarakat adalah dalam usaha untuk melaksanakan projek rintis Alternative to Detention secara berperingkat yang disasarkan kepada tahanan kanak-kanak.
That was Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, Dato' Sri Ismail Mohamed Said. So the Batukawan MP then asked a follow-up question on the government's efforts to improve the living conditions in these detention centres and also address issues like hygiene and sanitation facilities.
Kenyataan media Koalisi Buruh Migran Berdaulat dan Komnas Hak Asasi Manusia melaporkan keadaan yang kotor dan tidak selamat bagi pelarian yang ditahan di Pusat Tahanan Sabah yang diletakkan di bawah bidang kuasa Jabatan Immigration Malaysia di bawah Kementerian Dalam Negeri. Di antara Februari hingga Jun tahun ini, ada saksi yang telah melihat 3 wanita yang telah melahirkan anak tanpa apa-apa bantuan perubatan mahupun dengan pegawai. Ketiadaan air selama 3 hari, air yang kotor dan berbau, dan sebanyak 2 botol mineral air diberikan untuk mandi. Ini saksi
ini sudah ucapan ini.
10 tahun. Tahanan dipukul dan ditumbuk. Saya ingin tahu, apakah pelan tindakan yang akan diambil oleh kerajaan untuk menyiasat apa yang telah dilaporkan, dan juga mengikut jawapan menteri yang dikatakan tadi yang alternative to detention, apakah pelan tindakan, maksudnya yang diberitahu akan dilaksanakan secara berperingkat, tapi saya ingin mohon penjelasan yang lebih mendalam, apakah usaha-usaha, saya faham JKM, NGO, immigration semua terlibat, tapi apakah yang telah dilakukan atau apakah yang akan dilakukan? Dan akhir sekali, adakah makanan serta susu dan kain lampin cukup untuk tahanan dan pelarian? Sama ada wujud perkhidmatan perubatan dan vaksinasi bagi bayi-bayi yang dilahir dalam tahanan, sama ada mereka bersama dengan ibu bapa atau tidak. Terima kasih Datuk Speaker. Terima kasih Datuk.
That was Batukawan MP Kasturi Pato, and I think you can tell towards the end of that sentence, there were rumbles of disgruntlement happening already. But the Deputy Home Minister did reply that he will provide written answers at a later point. So we'll update you as and when that happens. And that is the first half of Popek Popek Parliament. So we've been talking about the future of transportation in our country and the link-ups of the different railway network systems that needs to happen. We also talked about reducing the ceiling price of 3-layer face masks from RM1.20 to RM1 each. And lastly, that issue of detention centres and children who are currently held there. Do you have any thoughts on any of these things? Any thoughts, any opinions that you'd like to share? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be crossing over to Dania Nair from BFM's news desk. She'll have more updates on other developments from Parliament, basically the stuff that happened outside the hall itself. So that's coming your way. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it's 5:19. That was a little bit of David Bowie with Hang On To Yourself. We are cutting in because we are going to be crossing over to our reporter on the ground. We have Dania Nair from the news desk joining us for Popek Popek Parliament. Dania, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Good to speak to you.
All right. So what happened outside the Dewan today?
So today, Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister, Dato' Sri Nancy Sukri, held a press conference because she had earlier brought up in the Dewan Rakyat about the government's plans to reopen travel routes with green zones abroad. And he said that a number of factors will be taken into account, including accessibility and the level of readiness of other countries.
Saya rasa dalam masa about a month ago, kita nampak bahawa ada negara yang telah berlakunya second wave. Jadi kita tidak dapat melihat travel bubbles itu dari sudut negara saja. We have to be very realistic, tapi kita perlu look forward. Dan saya pagi tadi di Parlimen menggunakan contoh, di antaranya kalau Australia. Kita tidak dapat melihat Malaysia dengan Australia lagi. Kita hanya melihat dari sudut destinasi. Kerana Australia, Melbourne dah sudah tak boleh diambil kira dulu. Tetapi mungkin Perth boleh diambil kira. But Perth dengan mana di Malaysia ini? So kita perlu melihat juga di Malaysia ini mana yang destinasi yang kita nak promosi itu mempunyai kriteria tertentu, iaitu misalnya accessibility dari segi international flights. Kalau kita lihat di Malaysia ini, kita ada Langkawi. Lepas itu, kita melihat dari sudut kalau macam Indonesia, Bali dengan Langkawi. So, we have to explore banyak cara untuk kita membolehkan negara kita ini membuka ruang kepada negara lain. Tetapi kalau negara lain itu masih belum bersedia untuk menerima orang luar daripada negara mereka, kita punya sasaran itu hanya menjadi sasaran sehingga masa yang sesuai yang boleh kita mulakan travel bubbles itu.
That was Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister Datuk Sri Nancy Shukri talking about the much-awaited travel bubbles with green zones. Dania, I understand that the issue of rent was also raised in Parliament.
That's right. So Klang MP Charles Santiago also spoke to the press about the need to come up with solutions to address rental issues. He shared his encounter with a business owner in his constituency, and he said that the situation can become a national crisis if left unchecked.
So I went to this restaurant, which pays 12,000 ringgit a month for rental. They had 32 tables, but now because of the MCO, you only can have 24. And across the board, there is actually a decrease of 30% of people who are coming to frequent these restaurants. So clearly, he's telling me that they are going to have problems in paying the rental, though. And we get almost on a daily basis, businessmen and businesswomen calling us to saying, can you help to negotiate with our landlords that we are unable to pay rent? I'm now negotiating with a house owner who wants to evict somebody who hasn't paid for 2 months. Either I raise the funds for the person, but I can't be paying for everybody. It's not possible. I don't have that kind of funds. To be fair, the government has made some effort. For example, in the case of low-cost housing, the Ministry of Housing has given 6 months waiver for all government-owned low-cost houses. But that support is not extended to people who are in other low-cost houses which exist privately. This is not a small problem, but this is a huge problem that could turn into a crisis.
The Klang MP also said that governments in other countries have implemented measures to help people in this respect, and the Malaysian government could set up a rental relief fund, perhaps through the COVID-19 bill that was tabled last week in Parliament, to assist those who are struggling to pay rent.
One, suspension of evictions. That means you don't throw people out in the roadside. By the way, it is happening. Let me assure you, it is happening. And as Wakil Rakyat, I hear this all the time, and I also know people who are in that situation. As I said, this is a husband and a wife, a pregnant wife, together with 2 children, parked in a car outside the hospital, though. And I asked the man, why are you outside the hospital? He said, no rental for parking outside the hospital, though. You can park there. So I'm sure, just like that, there will be other houses, other individuals, other poor households who will be facing similar problems. And then number two, rent freeze. A ban on residential and commercial rent increase up to March 2021. And then extension of the moratorium. So landlords who are willing to waive off the rent are eligible to apply for an extension of the moratorium on house loans up to March 2021. First homeowners could also apply for an extension of moratorium until March 2021 if they can prove that they suffered from income loss or were laid off. And then waive off the rents for the poor. Government should waive off the leases for the poor by compensating the landlord until March 2021. Housing is a fundamental human right, and the government must provide the support, must do everything possible to ensure that people have homes.
That was Klang MP Charles Santiago talking about the need for a rental relief fund. You know, you can tell us as well, have you been struggling with this issue? Do you know of anybody who is? Would a rental relief fund from the government be helpful to you? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Dania, did anything else happen today?
Yes, so we also had two MPs, Pasir Gerang MP Hassan Karim and Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fazal, speaking to the press about anti-hopping laws. Previously, de facto law minister Takdirin Hassan has said that an anti-hopping law would go against the federal constitution, which provides for freedom of association for all Malaysians. And today, the two MPs wanted to counter his statement. Hassan Karim said that if you read Article 10 of the constitution in its entirety, it stipulates that Parliament does have the power, to enact anti-party hopping laws.
Parliament may, by law, impose on the right conferred by paragraph C of clause 1, such restriction as it deems necessary or expedient in the interest of the security of the Federation or any part thereof, public order or morality. Jika isu keperlembagaan constitutionality ditimbulkan sebagai alasan untuk menghalang penggubalan akta anti-lompat parti, maka dinasihati supaya perkara 10(1)(c) hendaklah dibaca sama dengan pasal 2(c).
The MP also says that when it comes to a vote, you only need a simple majority. And on top of that, the constitution doesn't need to be amended in order for anti-hopping laws to be passed through parliament.
Di dalam perlembagaan persekutuan sudah disediakan infrastruktur di bawah pasal 2(c) perkara 10 untuk suatu akta anti-lompat parti digubal. Jadi, apakah halangan sebenarnya penggubalan akta anti-lompat parti? Jawapannya ialah kerana tidak ada keazaman politik. Political will, tak ada.
That was Pasir Gudang MP Hassan Karim saying that the federal constitution allows for the enactment of anti-hopping laws. Dania, thank you so much for those updates.
No problem, thank you.
So you just heard there Dania Naye of our news desk talking to us around the press conferences that happened outside the Dewan Rakyat, and that was part of our Popek Popek Parliament discussion. And as tends to be the case, I think, with what comes out of Dewan Rakyat, the topics are wide-ranging. So if you would like to weigh in on the price of masks, on transportation in the country, on children in immigration detention centres, you can let us know. We also spoke about reopening travel routes with green zones and rental relief funds, as well as anti-hopping. So, like I said, just a whole buffet of topics. So you could let us know what you think about this. I mean, do you think a rental relief fund is something that would be useful? Do you think that we're ever going to see the political will to push through an anti-party hopping act? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this message from Michael who says, rental control relief fund sounds like post-war rent control act. Let the market decide. And I mean, I can see where you're coming from. I do, however, also think that you don't want to let it get to a point in which people going out of business, people losing their homes entirely, people becoming homeless is a genuine out of control issue. I think addressing it early on and offering assistance where necessary in a targeted fashion is not a bad idea, especially if, like what we heard from the MP earlier, it is a conversation that they are having on a large scale, which means more people than we would like to think of are being affected. So, yeah, I mean, but let us know what you think. Do you think a rental control relief fund would be helpful? Again, that number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.